Jesus said we should pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, this sounds like we're trying to make a bargain with God. It is as if we should pray, "God, I will make a trade with you. I'll forgive those who sin against me if you will forgive my sins against you." Jesus gave us a prayer which begins, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We call it the model prayer, since he prefaced it with the statement, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." It is a model prayer, but a model for whom? We would answer, it is a model prayer for Christians. Upon examining the petitions of the prayer, most would agree that it is a model prayer for Christians to follow in praying. It is right for Christians to pray that the name of God would be hallowed, that the kingdom of God would come, and that the will of God should be done in earth as it is in heaven. This attitude changes, however, when you read on to the fifth petition of the prayer. It reads, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, many Christian commentators suddenly draw back at this point. This is legal ground, they say, and this is not a petition for Christians to present before God. But I disagree. The model prayer is a prayer for Christians. We too should pray, as Jesus taught us, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We're ashamed to pray this petition. It reveals us at our very worst. The petition admits that we sin against God and against one another, and it shows us asking for forgiveness when we are unwilling to forgive. It is an embarrassing petition, but a necessary petition for us to present before God. There are seven specific petitions to be found in the model prayer. Of the seven, Jesus selects only one upon which to elaborate. He selects the fifth, the one which asks, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Concerning that petition, Jesus says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This petition must be very significant to our spiritual lives. There are four great truths suggested in this petition. First, we sin against God. Upon the verdict of God, every mouth is stopped and all the world becomes guilty, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, we sin against one another. The Apostle James was honest to admit, "In many things we offend all." While the Apostle Paul warns, "When you sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ." Third, we often refuse to forgive one another. Examine the works of the flesh listed in Galatians 5:19-21, noting the words like wrath, hatred, variance, strife, envy, and so forth. These suggest a bitter and unforgiving spirit. Fourth, in spite of our sins, we desire God to forgive us. Hence we pray, "Forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses." The message of the Christian gospel is that sins can be forgiven. The petition Jesus taught us to pray acknowledges this fact and asks God to remit, remove, and send away our debts and trespasses. As a debt, sin is canceled. As a stain, it is washed away. As a written document, it is blotted out. As a deed, it is forgotten. Jacob the thief was forgiven. David the adulterer was forgiven. Peter the blasphemer was forgiven. Saul the persecutor was forgiven. Jesus is the friend of sinners who delights to forgive. Now, this is the good news of the Christian gospel. Your sins can be forgiven too. God says, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." No wonder Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive our debts." Without such a prayer of request for forgiveness, there is no forgiveness experienced. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yes, this is an essential petition. Jesus said we should pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, this sounds like we're trying to make a bargain with God. It is as if we should pray, "God, I will make a trade with you. I'll forgive those who sin against me if you will forgive my sins against you." But if so, that would be an act of self-righteous sin. How could our imperfect forgiveness ever merit the forgiveness of God? It could not. And how could we ever be an example for God in forgiving offenses? We could not. Then, what does this petition mean? We can understand the petition by understanding these basic truths. First, the Christian is taught to be forgiving. In fact, an unforgiving spirit is disobedience against God. No one can truly worship God unless he has fully and freely forgiven any offense against himself. Jesus said our forgiveness towards others is to be unlimited. If a man trespass against you 490 times, you are to forgive him every time. And if he trespass against you 7 times in one day and repents, you are to forgive him fully and freely. Yes, the Christian is to be forgiving. Second, forgiveness is based upon our relationship with God. We do not forgive in our own strength, but with the Spirit of God who forgave our trespasses. Such a spirit of forgiveness in Christians follows the example of the Lord Jesus as expressed in Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. To live such a life in which the Christ Spirit is repeatedly manifest in a forgiving attitude is to inherit a blessing, just as the Scripture promises. Third, an unforgiving spirit is a sin of the flesh and contrary to spiritual things. Just think back to the works of the flesh listed in Galatians 5. You could write the caption, "A bitter and unforgiving spirit," across that list, and it would pretty well identify each sin mentioned there. If God commands you to forgive and you refuse to do so, you have disobeyed God and are guilty of sin against Him. Yes, an unforgiving spirit is a sin against God who has taught us to be quick to forgive. Fourth, unconfessed and unforgiven sin hinders prayer. Psalm 66:18 reads, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, to regard iniquity means to have a sin to which one clings. Unforgiveness is a sin. To cling to the spirit of unforgiveness, refusing to forgive others for the wrongs they have done to us, is to regard the iniquity of unforgiveness in our hearts. Under such circumstances, the Bible warns, "The Lord will not hear." That is to say, we must approach God's throne with the willingness for every sin to be forgiven. Suppose someone prayed, "God, I have sinned and need forgiveness. I ask you to forgive all of my sins, except, Lord, I think you should know that I am a thief and I intend to go right on stealing." Now, do you think that God would forgive all sins but one? Well, of course not. Such a prayer would indicate a lack of true repentance. Just so, suppose someone should come to him and say, "God, I have sinned. I ask you to forgive all my sins, except, Lord, I think you should know that I'm not willing to forgive Mr. So-and-so, and I intend to go right on hating him." Now, would God forgive and cleanse a life under such circumstances? Of course not. To receive forgiveness, you must be willing to confess all sins and for all sins to be removed. An unforgiving spirit is a sin. Therefore, you must be willing to admit the sin of unforgiveness and to have it taken away too. Otherwise, God will not hear you when you pray. Now, this is what Jesus meant when he taught us, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Can you get on your knees and honestly pray before God, "Forgive me as I forgive others"? If not, you need to take special heed to this petition which Jesus said you should pray. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors."